Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
We're continuing our study in the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter number 3. We'll be looking at three verses today, verses 15 through 17. So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, follow along as I read. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Dr. David Jeremiah introduced this section by writing, "Let's sum up what we've learned so far in Colossians chapter 3. When we receive the grace of God, we're able to put on the character of Christ, like layering clothing on a chilly day. We're called to go into the cold world around us dressed in tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. What's next?" Well, look with me again in verse number 15, and let's see what's next. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When you think about the peace of God ruling in our hearts, we need to consider the decisions that we make in life. Sometimes we face decisions that aren't necessarily good versus bad, but good versus good, and we're just not sure which way to go. It might be a decision about a job. It might be a decision about a move or something along that nature. And so then it entails upon us to be in prayer and to seek God's direction and will. And we use the phrase, "God gave me peace about this decision." That's kind of what Paul's talking about here, is letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. So sometimes there's decisions that we need not to make until God has given us that peace. It's interesting in the book of John that prior to the crucifixion, Jesus had his disciples together. And I want to share with you what he told them in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This peace of God that the Bible talks about is a gift from God himself to believers. I want to quote Robert Jeffers and what he said about this. He said, "What was the secret to Jesus' inner peace? It was his conviction that God was in control of every circumstance in his life. Jesus was resolute in his belief that nothing would happen to him that was not according to the perfect, loving will of God. That's the foundation for experiencing peace in your life as well. Are you convinced that everything that happens to you is part of God's good plan to conform you to the image of his Son? You remember what Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 tells us? I'm turning there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." When you look at the life of Jesus, he was always at peace. Whether he was sleeping in the back of a boat during a huge storm that all the disciples were fearful about, or even if it was nearing the time of the cross, when he said, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done," the Lord Jesus Christ was always at peace. Why? because he knew that God the Father was in complete control and he totally trusted his Father. My friend, we as Christians are given that promise as well, that if you have Jesus Christ dwelling within you, you are a child of God. We can put our trust completely in God. He is in control. As Christians, we not only have peace with God, but we should also experience the peace of Christ in our lives every day. As you look at verse number 15, some translators say literally that it means, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." The Lord Jesus Christ exhibited throughout his entire earthly ministry this peace of God. Now, the Greek word translated heart refers to the soul or the mind, as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, the passions, the desires, the appetites, affections, the purposes, and our endeavors. In the book of Philippians chapter number 4, look with me in verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be overcome with worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And in verse 7 he says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God is something that can't easily be explained because it's beyond our understanding. And there's one example here I want to give. David Jeremiah gives a testimony here of June DePriest. And he writes this: "June DePriest has taught the Bible for many years in Jackson, Mississippi. In her book, A Resting Place, she wrote about the time when, as a young wife and mother, she learned her husband Joe had serious heart disease. He wasn't likely to live. For days afterward, June had her daily quiet time of Bible study and prayer in her blue rocking chair. Some mornings, all she did was cry. Other days, she would memorize needed verses and passages. But her fears were always near the surface. Then one morning, she stood up and made a personal decision. 'Lord, whether Joe lives or whether Joe dies, I will love you and serve you.' For her, it was an altar experience. 'After my altar experience, did I stay at perfect peace? I didn't. But I had a better understanding of how to live at peace.' June wrote, 'It's a choice that must be made countless times a day. A troubled spirit is a good indication that we are not trusting God. We're mulling things over and over.' She continued, 'A picture can't be painted of God's peace. Money can't buy it, nor can it be found if we search the world for it. But it's God's promise and His gift for us.' That's why it's a peace that passeth understanding. It's hard to explain, but as a Christian, we experience it. Why? Because it's a promise from God. It's a source of power that we can tap into. What a blessing to have this peace of God. And it's to rule. The peace of Christ is to rule in the believer's heart. And that's the way it should be in the life of a Christian. When there are those decisions that need to be made, we need to seek the peace of Christ regarding that decision. When the peace of Christ rules in our individual lives, it must also be true in the body of believers. That's what he's talking about in verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body." The body of Christ, that local assembly of believers, if you want peace in your church, it comes from the individual believers being at peace with God. And then, at the last part of verse 15, he says, "And be ye thankful." This is a theme that runs through verses 15, 16, and 17, is the thankfulness that we as Christians are to have. Sometimes it's difficult to be thankful, and yet that should be the attitude of every believer. I want to share something I read that John Phillips wrote. He's referring to the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this, "If we could hear him at prayer, we would hear something like this. Thank you, Lord, for this prison. At least it's a house and not a dungeon. Thank you that I'm still allowed to receive my friends like dear Epaphras here. Thank you, Lord, that I can still pray and write. And thank you for the opportunities I had to tell these guards about Christ, so that now the entire Praetorian Guard has heard about you. Thank you for enabling me to meet runaway Onesimus, who, but for my being here in Rome, might have died in his sins." Paul could always find something for which to be thankful. What an interesting idea to think of the Apostle Paul and his personal circumstances as a prisoner of Rome, and yet he could be thankful for all the blessings that God had bestowed upon him. And then Robert Jeffress gives a good illustration of this type of thankfulness that the Apostle Paul is talking about. He writes, in her memoir, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom shared how she learned to be thankful in every circumstance. She and her sister Betsy had been moved to the Nazi concentration camp, Ravensbrück, where the barracks were overcrowded and flea-infested. As they looked at their new quarters, Betsy began thanking God that they were still together, that the guards hadn't taken Corrie's Bible, and that the barracks were crowded because it meant more people could hear their Bible study. Finally, Betsy prayed, "Thank you for the fleas." Corrie interrupted, "Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea." Betsy didn't back down. "Give thanks in all circumstances," she said, quoting 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. So Corrie reluctantly thanked God for the fleas. As the days passed, Corrie and Betsy were able to conduct Bible studies without any intrusion from the guards. Why did the guards stay away? You guessed it, the fleas. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go through our lives, sometimes there are difficult circumstances that we face, but we can always see God at work. And sometimes He works in places that we don't see, but we can always, always be thankful. Well, we're in Colossians chapter 3. We've looked at verse 15. Look at verse 16 with me. The Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now think about it. We, as believers, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be memorizing, studying, getting into the Word. But just as much is the need for the Word to be in us. Not just for us to be in the Word, but for the Word to be in us. It's the words of Scripture that should fill our lives. When you think about ministry, and every believer has been called to ministry, ministry is about focusing on others, not simply on ourselves. The Bible is our rule of faith and practice. R.C. Sproul put it this way, God calls every Christian to pursue righteousness. Our trust is to be childlike, but our understanding must be mature. Such trust and understanding require study of God's Word. The authentic disciple meditates on it day and night. Our goal is more than knowledge, it is wisdom, the fruit of inward and outward obedience. And so not only are we to be in the Word, but the Word is to be in us, and we focus on others. It's part of our ministry, the Word working itself out of us, reaching even unto others. And the Word of God is so important. We have questions as we go through life. Guess what? God's given us His Word. He's given us the answer to the problems that we face every day. The Word of God should be at home in us with unrestricted liberty. Adrian Rogers said, if you have a Bible that's falling apart, you'll have a life that's not. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When you look at the Word of God working itself out through ministry, Paul says in verse 16, first of all, teaching and admonishing one another. That's the teaching and the preaching and the sharing of the Word of God. And then when he talks about the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs and singing with grace or thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord, the words of Christ should fill in our worship as well. I like what David Jeremiah reminds us, that we're singing not just to the Lord, but for the Lord. We're actually teaching and admonishing those around us. He talks about how that before he steps into the pulpit to preach, the people have already been preaching. Why? Because they've been singing the Word of God. You know, when you think about singing, I was raised in a traditional church. We used hymnals in our song service. And what an easy way to memorize God's Word. Many years ago, when I had opportunity to minister in a nursing home situation, those folks that we would go minister to, that was the most exciting part of the service, was singing those old hymns. Lyrics just came back like they were never forgotten. Why? Because that was the easiest way to memorize words is through song. And those are the kind of songs that we ought to have memorized. You see, worship edifies. Worship builds up. And as God's people gather together in God's house and sing these words of the Bible, it builds up God's body. So let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then finally, in verse number 17, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now, this is a significant Bible concept. You know, we talked about having the peace of God and the decisions that we make, and this will bring a lot of clarity to some of the questions that we have, whether I should go to this place, whether I should be involved in this activity. Well, let me ask you, can you take Jesus with you? Would Jesus be at this place that you want to go? Would Jesus be involved in this activity that you're wondering whether or not you should be involved in? If the answer is no, you have your answer. You have your answer because the Bible says, whatsoever we do, what we say in word, what we do in deed, we'll be able to do all of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to share some scriptures regarding the significance of this biblical concept. So I'm going to begin in the Old Testament, and I'm sure there's many, many more we could look at, but let's look at just a few today regarding this important biblical concept. I want to begin by reading in Proverbs chapter number 4, looking at verse 26. Here the Bible says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." And then in Proverbs chapter 16, and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Then we go to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. There I want to look at chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And then in chapter 11 and verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Then we turn to the New Testament, looking briefly at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, and this is what the Bible says. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. But let's look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And then finally, the New Testament over in the book of 3 John. 3 John verse 5, the Bible says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. All of these verses are dealing with the practical aspect of living our Christian lives. And what should be the center of that? Well, what would the Lord have us to do? What would the peace of God give us peace and contentment in making these decisions to say what is right and to do what is right, realizing that everything that we do and say should bring honor and glory to God? That's what the Bible is talking about. Such a significant biblical concept that whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul writes, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we say or do should align with what Christ should do, and it should be permeated with thanksgiving. Remember, the Apostle Paul was a Roman prisoner when he penned this epistle, and yet he was thankful for the doors that God opened for him, even though other doors had been shut. He was at the mercy of Rome. He would one day be martyred by the authority of Rome, and yet he was still thankful for every opportunity that he had. We are to put on the character of Christ, lest God finds us naked. And the problem is, so many Christians today are in what the Bible calls a carnal condition. In other words, it's hard to tell the difference between these kind of Christians and those that aren't saved at all. Many will call themselves Christians, and yet when God examines their life, they're falling short of what God expects of the Christian life. This is brought out in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. As Jesus is looking at a church, he writes, And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. So here is John writing what God is about to judge in this church at Laodicea. He says here, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus looks past the words that say, Oh, I'm a Christian, and he looks at our works. He looks at our deeds. Are we reflecting Christ in our lives? Are we doing what God has called us to do? David Jeremiah said, Don't fail to receive the grace of Christ and put on the character of Christ, submit to the peace of Christ, dwell on the word of Christ, and live for the name of Christ. Outlined to this section that we've studied today, writer wrote this, Let the peace of Christ arbitrate your life. That's what we learned in verse 15. Secondly, let the word of Christ permeate your life. That's what we learned in verse 16. And then in verse 17, let the name of Christ motivate your life. All of these things, these gifts that God has given to each and every one who is a Christian, who's trusted Christ as their Savior. So my friend, I encourage you today, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for God has equipped us to live a life with peace with God, but experiencing the peace of God and peace with one another. May God bless you richly this day.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.